right, ladies and gentlemen, Better Late Than Never, Wisdom for the Way podcast, episode 7. I apologize it's been so long since I've done this, but like I'll touch on in a little bit, I've had some exciting life changes that include being sleep deprived and always tired. So episode 7, I don't know if you can hear the sound, we're a little different here. I'm not in my garage drinking wine, I'm in an establishment drinking beer, which is even better. So thanks for tuning in. Again, sponsors, Cinder and Sage Jewelry. Enter the code name Wisdom for some savings there. And Voip Burma Clothing, enter the code name Podcast for some savings on Jeremy's site there as well. So without further ado, I am extremely excited to announce my first guest on my podcast. So for everyone that the YYC hashtag is going to be fully on board with this, and hopefully everyone else will too, but there is a Max on, is it 7th and 7th?
7th and 8th, so 7th Avenue 8th Street.
7th Avenue 8th Street downtown, that's notorious for sketchiness.
Everything.
And hood rats and all sorts of exciting happenings in the wee hours of the evening. So, from what I can tell from Twitter, there is 2.5, I guess, with the kid.
2.5.
That have a Twitter handle, CrackMax, and took off and snowballed, and from what myself, being a little bit of emergency services and just living in Calgary my whole life, it seems like you guys kind of took the helm and are more or less witnessing some vigilante justice.
A little bit, yeah. More so just the random happenings of downtown. This isn't really our first foray into the media. We started in 2009 in August with the Twitter, but previous to that we lived a block east on 6th Ave in the notorious Terrace Gardens apartment where I did security on the night shift. Oh. And I started a little blog on LiveJournal on stuff that I saw from crackheads coming home, people face planting on concrete, somebody losing their coke and asking me to help them find it, and so on and so forth. So once we moved and had a better vantage point, way more content. Twitter just happened to be popping up then and taking off. So.
That was 09?
Yeah, that was August 31st, 2009. Actually, we looked up our stats today, and we've been around for 54% of Twitter's existence.
Wow, so, that's impressive.
A little bit, yeah. We've been around for a while, working our butts off to try and generate content and viewers. And
so it started with Twitter.
Yes.
So you guys have over like 5,000 followers.
Almost 6,000 now. We're like 100 followers away.
Which is crazy. So it's at CrackMax. So CrackMax.
Yes.
I guess just to go back, so it started a little bit at that other apartment you lived at.
Yes.
And then how did it all snowball for you guys? Because you guys have a YouTube channel now,
yes,
too.
Yes, with the same name, and we have an Imgur account, same name, and Mr. CrackMax, as he likes to be called, also moderates the Calgary subreddit on reddit.com.
Yeah, Reddit.
Which is where a lot of our traffic will come from, as well as the retweets from Nenshi, who, of course, is my BFF.
Yeah, it's crazy. So Nenshi follows you guys. I'm sure there's, like, countless, like, police and fire and EMS. And
Metro Ford follows us, of all people. Like, I tweeted one day I want a pink Mustang, and suddenly Macklin and Metro were right there. I'm like, sweet, so, there's like, half my battle.
Aldermans, and that's pretty crazy. And it's crazy that you can get that much of a follower base out of someone that is more or less anonymous.
Yeah.
Because there's no, like, personal attachment. You're not there for this person's views. You're just...
Exactly. And we
figure out what's
go
going on.
So above and beyond to try and stay anonymous. More my husband than I, obviously, because here I am. But, yeah, we learned early on with some of the content that we were posting and some of the backlash that we had from some of the incidents that we weren't exactly safe.
Yeah.
And we do have a small child. And in her best interest and in ours and what we do for work, we wanted to try and separate that from home and, you know, work, personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, not to dig into it too much, but I assume both of you guys, you do have other jobs.
Oh, yeah. And
do
we've
people
been,
at that other jobs know about...
A lot of them
CrackMax.
Do. Yeah, and we've even announced on our Twitter, like, I work for World Health, and he works for Shaw Media, and, yeah, a lot of people do know. At first, they didn't, and we tried to keep it quiet, but, I mean, as our names got released, our first names, when we were published in Swerve back in 2010, then people started putting it together, and my friends and family were like, hey, I know that girl's back of the head. So, yeah, it's pretty hard to keep it. It's, like, the worst kept secret.
Yeah.
And what was the Swerve article? What did
it was just I'm not even sure how that came up or why that came up. It was just we were contacted by the Herald over something that we had posted and asked if we could be interviewed by one of the guys from Swerve, and we said, yeah, sure. So that was the only time my husband actually did a media interview. And we went down to the Tim's down there and just talked about some of the stuff that we had seen. And it was just a short little blurb. We actually, I pulled out the magazine today and looked it up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then you guys won an award?
Actually, like it's 2 years running now.
Fast forward's
Best of Calgary. We come in third. And then she, of course, takes first for Best Twitter Personality.
Who's
and
two?
And then this year it was Mike. I can't remember his last name.
Oh, yeah. Food blogger.
Yeah. Bloggity. And last year it was, I think her name was Sarah, but she moved to LA. She was number two, and then we've been third. So vote better, guys.
Sweet. What does that give you? Just street cred? I was on Fast Forward's website today looking at them all. Yeah. They have so many categories. It's insane.
It is. Yeah. It's just basically a, you know, free party for everyone to drink and eat. And
you didn't go? Your husband went?
No, we both went.
Oh.
Last year I went, and I got food poisoning, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
So, and this year we went, and Nenji hasn't been able to make it to either one, but his aide, Darcy, who I called Doug, came and was mistaken as part of our entourage, so you know you've made it when.
So we talked about the floods a little bit. You guys were okay. You got evacuated for a bit.
Yeah.
How long were you out for?
I was out for 5 days.
5 days.
Yeah, my family were in Mission and others in Montgomery, so they were also gone. Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah, it was bad. The worst incident that I had directly was my mom. My mom lives in Discovery Ridge, in those Wedgwood condos. And she was one of the last ones back in. I actually started following that area's alderman on Twitter to try and get some more info, because their parkade was flooded. And it took a good like 2 or 3 months to get like the structural integrity testing of the parkade back. So it's so crazy, like an area that's so far removed from the city, and it didn't get much PR or help or anything, and it was forever. And I think they're in the parkade now, but there's still no elevators or no anything else, so it's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. We survived. Stampede week must be crazy for you guys.
Actually, it was pretty tame this year.
Yeah.
We noticed a lot, especially with my job, like people just left. The gym that I work at, everyone just went on vacation. Just, you know, gone for a couple weeks, and it was really tame during Stampede. City pride was really high. People were more interested in congratulating each other and helping out fellow man than destroying the city, which was really nice to
see
for us.
Definitely had one of the better vibes of any Stampede.
It did,
So, walk me through an evening. So, is there anything like any of, do you guys monitor scanners, or you just sit at the window?
We used to monitor scanners. About a year ago, there's a Twitter user, Anne McCat, who is usually on her scanner, and we would converse with her a lot. But it just got to be too much. There's so much to hear on both EMS, fire, and police, and it's a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
And we found ourselves doing nothing but listening to the scanners. We're in. No.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we don't even sit there anymore. We used to just sit there on the balcony and watch, laugh, and point. And, I mean, now we listen and we hear a random, you know, fuck, and we're like, oh, yeah, fuck.
There you go.
And then, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, that we'll take a look on that one, or we'll hear the squeal of tires and wait for the crunch and see, like, I mean.
Yeah.
Most of them have just been by happenstance. I've seen 2 suicide jumpers from the Vista Towers. One we saw the aftermath, one I actually saw him jump out. My kid was having a play date, we were in the pool, and look out, and there he goes. And I was like, okay, so none more of that. And I mean, you can see a lot of the videos on our YouTube account. You know, some big blue furry gyrating suggestively in the middle of the night for traffic, just randomly. Machete attacks, fights, lots of fights.
Lots of fights.
Everyone's so angry.
Yeah.
Lots of drunken fights, so we know that when people are on their way to the bars or when they're on their way back. So, between 11 and 3.
You guys seem to be up a lot.
Yeah, we, with the kid, I used to work at home, so, and I was up all the time feeding her and all the rest of it,
yeah.
So just happened to catch them. And then the husband's a little bit of a night owl as well. And we've been woken up by some of this stuff, too.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my goodness.
So you guys just have, like, a camera kind of sort of ready?
Well, we have a bunch of cameras and camcorders. We had a camcorder that was actually donated by one of our Twitter followers a year or two ago, which was really nice.
Sweet.
And we have a few high-powered DSLRs with zoom lenses. And just we realized really quickly that we would need zoom lenses.
Oh, yeah. How high are you guys up?
We are almost 20 floors up now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have a pretty good vantage point, and then with the reflection from the Sandman, we can see a lot.
Yeah.
And then we've enlisted the help of one of the user, Frosty75, I think it is. She is in the West Tower.
Oh, nice.
A friend of ours, so we kind of have, like, double the eyes now. So whatever we don't see, she can kind of see.
And then, so I followed you guys for a while, and I think I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, like a year ago, you guys tweeted that you might be moving?
Yeah, we had thought about it because we weren't really happy with our building, and just we were realizing after a really nasty incident that made the news, and like it ended us up as like a mobile base for SWAT and guns and the whole nine yards, that maybe this wasn't the best environment to be having our child in. And you know, we started looking, but then the flood came about and there's just zero vacancy now. So with the kid being in school, we're kind of stuck where we are for a little while.
What are the difficulties? I guess I never touched on it. I had a kid, for those followers of mine that aren't my friends, Raya Bronx Simmer. He's about 6 weeks now. He's already extremely hyper and keeping me up. And my wife kept me up, but everything's great. And we're adjusting to the new life of 50% less sleep.
That's optimistic.
So it's crazy. So we built a house, and we actually just moved into Evanston, suburb central. And because when you guys said you were moving, I think you asked like your viewers, like, should we keep this going or should we pass it off to someone else in the area or whatever? And yeah, I think when and if that ever happens, I think it's all about you guys. Unfortunately, if you move somewhere else, it might be a little less busy.
Yeah, a little bit.
So like like we talked about before we turned this on, is I take the first little bit of the evening with my son, so I'm up from like 9 to like midnight or 1 a.m. And even in this weird little cul-de-sac in Evanston, so I'm in the bonus room, I got like a beer, phone charger, Apple TV remote, and I've got a huge window right beside me, and I can totally see the interest in doing what you guys are doing, because I know like cars. I'm like, oh, that's that guy. He's supposed to be getting home from work. There's that loud truck that drives by and wakes up my son every night.
There's a lot of moments where you just feel like that creepy neighbor that there's a sitcom about that just sits there, you know, look at that sinister kid.
But it's weird because there's some people that you want to know about your neighbors and you want to have that conversation with. There's other people and you're just like, whoa.
You know, it's funny, for as voyeuristic as we are, we know nothing about our neighbors. Like, after 5 years now, I finally just met the new neighbor. And, I mean, the turnover's so high that we don't know anybody. It's so anonymous in our building.
Is it because that's mainly renters?
Well, I mean, it is renters and there's turnover. It's just, it's not, there's no facilitation of neighborliness, and it's just... Yeah, there's no trick-or-treating allowed in our buildings. So, I mean, there's no mixers, things like that, really. You don't really meet anyone. Everyone's so angry at our building that nobody wants to talk in the elevator except to bitch about our building, so.
And is it, like, mainly, like, a corpo crowd, like, all corporate people?
No, actually, there's a lot of families. Like, as I realized when I started walking my daughter to school, that they all live in our building. So she's like, oh, I'm in, you know, class with these kids. I'm like, and then we've probably lived beside them their whole life, and we don't know them. So
I guess that's a pro con to living downtown, is you can walk with your kids to school. You don't have to take the bus.
Yeah.
But I guess the con of it is
there is no real sense of neighborhood downtown.
Walking downtown.
Yeah. And I mean, every day I walk across the street and spray paint on the street says Bitch Street. Like, you know, I live right in Breaking Bad kind of thing. And it's just there, you know. We lay bets on how often the door to McDonald's is busted. There was a good long year where we had the door guy at Max who would, like, refuse to let you in the door unless he opened it for you, and, of course, try and nail you for change every time you went in and out. And they would lock the second door, so you had to go through this door. So, yeah, I mean, just little fixtures of the neighborhood, so to speak.
Will you guys ever move, you think? In this short little while?
Not until next year. Yeah. We access a full day kindergarten, so that's really beneficial. We lose that if we move.
Okay.
They just kick you right out of the schools now, apparently, if you move.
Oh.
Yeah, something you need to be aware
that's
of as a dad.
Something that you're gonna have to look into in the next few
that's
months.
That's right. Yeah, get on the waiting list early.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's something that's going to be overwhelming, especially because like my wife and I work the exact same schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, if I'm with a different fire department at the time or whatever, if we can balance some sort of shift work, that that would be nice. Yeah. But like all, lots of my friends, like I'm 29, so all my friends are having kids, and lots of their kids are at that age now, 2 or 3, and it's like, does my wife go back to work, or do we pay for childcare?
Well, and that's the thing, everyone's, it is, so many people are making that decision of, you know, well, I might as well just stay home because somebody else is going to raise my kid, and I'm just paying for, that's what my whole job is.
The exact same.
So, exactly. Yeah, I have quite a few friends that went through the same scenario. I lucked out that I had a job at home for so long, so just worked out that way.
So, this, not to put you on the spot or anything, but craziest thing.
Ooh, okay, let's break that down into two categories then. Did it make the news or didn't it make the news?
Well, give me one of each, I guess.
So the craziest thing that made the news was the guys that lived across the street in the Sundial apartment. They were out on their balcony filling up plastic bags with butane, I think it was, from one of those Coleman camper stoves, propane probably, and then lighting it on fire. And then they pulled out a sword, and like a broadsword, and tried to pierce the canister. And then they pulled out a gun and started firing at the traffic below on 6th Ave, which is the one we call 911, because we're pretty content to let people blow themselves up.
From their balcony?
Yes. So they were, I think I'd say maybe 2 balconies under us. So we were watching, and, you know, we've got the cameras out, both of us going on the cameras, and we're like, yeah, look at these idiots. They're going to blow themselves up. You know, this is going to be really funny. And then they pulled out the gun, and I was pretty sure it was a BB gun because I have security background. I'm like, yeah, okay. And then they start firing it on traffic, and we're like, done. Call 911. They come in, sirens rolling, and I'm coordinating them on the phone. Turn your sirens off, coordinating them down 8th Street through the alley. You guys are going to spook them, and so on and so forth. Then they, like, commandeered our apartment as an base as they were like relaying all this information, and I was trying to tell them, no, you missed it, no, you're in the wrong building, you need to be in that building. So yeah, that made the news global. That was the first video we sold to Global, and so that obviously never made our YouTube account because they own exclusive rights to it.
Sold to Global.
Sold to Global.
What?
Yeah,
is there a market for that?
There is, actually. If you've got exclusive content that is pretty newsworthy, then yeah, you can sell it to the media.
Is this a pre-desired amount, or can you barter?
It depends on what the video is. Wow. And I mean, suicides are never going to make the news. That they don't even get reported. So, yeah.
Wow.
So that one made the news. And yeah, so that we also make money off of the YouTube account, the ad views and stuff like that. So it actually generates income now.
So how does that work? Do you have to have a certain amount of followers to your YouTube
channel? No, it's just page views, video views.
So after a certain amount of views, do they come to you, or do you have to sign up to get ads?
I think you sign up to get the ads, and then after, I think it's $100, they'll start paying out. So you have to generate that much. So yeah, it was. We had a really brutal windstorm here last summer, I think it was, or the summer before, where the construction
stuff
site
kept falling off.
Yeah, and I caught, happened to be videotaping as my husband was, he does a lot of the groundwork while I stay home with the kids.
Yeah.
So I'll be videotaping from the balcony and seeing what I can see while he's on the ground, and I happened to catch a laundry basket that took a tour around downtown midair and like stayed there above all the buildings, and it got like 12,000 views, of all things. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's the sweetest thing about you guys is whenever you talk to be your husband, he's like, I heard something, I'm going downstairs.
Yeah, and it's usually just one, whichever one of us is up and has pants on kind of thing. It's like rock, paper, scissors, pants. So, yeah, it's like, okay, which one of us is going for it?
So then you look at like that tweet, so say, I'm going downstairs, and it'll be like, favorite, retweet, and then the next view is, you know, there's like so many people just like sitting there with their phones like, refresh.
It was never more evident than during the flood as to how many people are really paying attention to what goes on in the YYC hashtag and to us personally. Because like our viewership went up like I think 1,000 followers over 3 days because of our flood coverage. And I was coming home from work as it started to flood with our daughter. And my husband was coming home from the Northeast on the train. And he said, you know, I said, one of us should be on the ground right now. And, you know, let's flip for it. He's like, I'm already down on my way to Princess Island. I said, okay, I'll go home and we'll monitor from there. And he was on Princess Island as it flooded out.
Wow.
So he got to the River Cafe, realized it was flooding, turned around, and it had already flooded behind him. So he had to wade through that to get home. And it was a little dicey, yeah, and he decided not to evacuate. He stayed, and I went because we don't drive. I wasn't doing that on foot at 3 in the morning with, the, you know, a toddler kind of thing. So off we went. So, yeah, that was the craziest one that made the media. And I think the one that didn't make the media was either the car that drove through the Taste Bud Cafe into the pizza place or the gyrating blue man. That was pretty weird.
And then So is it you or Mr. Crackmax that has the some of you are excited about the football game?
Football.
Monday Night Football. You guys are always tweeting and complaining about Calgary Transit.
That's both of us.
Is it?
It is. We are both transit users, and we've been at, like, we've lived downtown for 10 years now, and we don't drive. We don't even have our licenses, just learners. Haven't owned a car in, like, 20 years kind of thing. And we've watched the steady decline of Calgary Transit as a whole. The prices go up. There's no more discount on the tickets. You know, it's... They just don't seem to be listening to their ridership, and they push so hard for everyone to get rid of their vehicles and ride transit. But, I mean, you just look at the tweets from yesterday. Oh, I missed my connection. My bus was 10 minutes late. Sunday service. I'm never going to get there now. I wait for another hour kind of thing. So
I, I used to live in Aspen. My wife and I had a townhouse in Aspen. So we were, like, super stoked for the West LRT. And then when West LRT opened, I started taking it. So my other job, it's off in McLeod by Chinook. So I, you know, take the C train,
transfer
downtown, whatever. And I started taking it, but I started, so it was at $3 for like peons like myself that apply pass. So it's like $6 a day. And I drive a Honda Accord, so my gas is like 2 cents to get down there. So I started thinking about doing it, and it's an extra half hour. But aside from that, so I grew up in Bonas, walked to Bonas High, walked to my junior highs. I had the most limited experience with public transit ever. But I actually had, I don't even know if I can probably tell this story, because I don't know if it's a repeat. Me and one of my fire hall buddies applied for Amazing Race Canada, where I obviously didn't get in because you don't know me right now. But we made it to the last step. So one day I had to go to the Delta Bow Valley because the casting directors were coming to meet us. So it was a snowy morning. I don't even remember. Probably January, super snowy. I tried to drive and traffic's just mess. So I went back to my house and hopped on the West LRT. And I was very ill prepared for the day. So I had like Safeway bag of lunch, Safeway bag of Amazing Race documents because I had to fill out the survey and get like pictures taken and all this stuff. So I go and try and do this thing. I'm downtown. I'm on the train. So I switch trains. Switch trains early. And the next train that I get on changes as I'm on it. So I just switched trains again. And I honestly think, I don't know why, but I think I switched trains three times. So I switched trains three times. As the train turns to the Victoria Park towards the Salagone, I realized that I'm holding zero bags.
Oh no!
And like a dummy, I don't know, guys have a, I wear tight pants and guys don't have purses. I had my wallet and my passport and everything.
Oh my goodness.
In these bags. So I get to work and I call my buddy and I'm like, hey, we're supposed to meet the casting directors in 20 minutes and I only have my cell phone. I have nothing on me, no thanks. So I like print up the survey, fill it out, take the C train back to downtown, and I ended up, you know, bullshitting my paperwork and finally interviewing and all that stuff. So I had the hardest time getting a hold of anybody at Calgary Transit to help me with all my things.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to like that office on whatever 7th or whatever.
Where it used to be.
And I went in there and I'm like, hey, I lost all my things. Help me. So they like took my information and you can't really call them. Like it's a weird number and it takes you to like another directory and you can't like talk to a human. So I had to like physically go in. And it wasn't even then, like they couldn't even help me for some reason. Because it was horrible documents to leave because I had all my information because the Amazing Race needed it and I had my passport.
It's like, here, just take my identity. I don't need it.
Take my life. So I must have had my wife's emergency contact number for the race on there because someone called my wife. And she calls me and she's like, how was your morning? She's like, someone just called me. All your stuff is at City Hall. So it's at City Hall for some weird reason. But I got all my stuff back and I still had like $10 in my wallet and everything was there. So.
See, we all know to go to Nenshing when we're in trouble.
Faith in humanity. So here's a question for you. So working in fire, I had a girlfriend like years ago that really pushed me towards police, CPS. And my brother's a cop. My brother's a cop in Sydney, Australia. And he's told me stories and, you know, friends of friends tell you stories. Do you guys find living where you are and seeing what you see, does it make you a little bit jaded and sad towards the way people treat each other and where society is? Or do you think you're just in a little concentrated bubble where you see the worst of people?
It's not even that we see the worst of people, because it's not that bad. There is a certain subset of people that are, and they're the regular people. They're the ones we always see, and I mean, it is usually a specific race, and it's the same people. It's alcohol. It's drug and alcohol. It's anger. It's, you know, people fighting over stupid things. it's just the seedy underbelly of what you see down here.
Yeah. Because, like, myself, like, I've seen some bad stuff, but, like, fire, we usually get to certain things first mm-hmm. before police, so we do get in some awkward situations, and we don't have, like, EMS has armor. Obviously, cops do, but we don't get anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, dispatch is pretty good for telling us to stand by and wait, but it puts us in an awkward situation. Yes, I'm in rural Alberta, but there was an article a few years ago that the Springbank Airport is one of the busiest airports for drug trafficking in Canada. Because there's no customs, there's no nothing,
yeah.
It's all just private people.
Yeah.
So I guess what people are doing is they're flying this, flying a plane, they go over some farmer's field in like Cochrane or Bearspaw,
drop it off,
package
yeah.
out, and guys will roll up in quads.
There's a song about that a long time ago. It's called Bales of Cocaine from a Low-Flying Plane.
So that's the craziest thing. So then you get like four 20-something-year-old relatively rookie firefighters that roll up to, you know, a hazmat call or a mysterious package, and
yeah.
we don't know where we're running into. But that's why I think, I don't know, I commend you guys for what you're doing, and I just hope it isn't giving you a warped view of Calgary as a whole.
Not really. I mean, I've been here for, since I was 10, so about 25 years now, off and on. And I worked security for a very long time. I did the G8 Summit and some of the high profile and some of the more corporate, but it was, a lot of it was downtown. And I mean, you see a lot of stuff, but it's nothing like when I lived in Toronto. Like, that, it doesn't even compare.
Oh, you live in Toronto?
Yeah, I'm originally from Ontario, from a small town, and I lived in Toronto for a while, and we got nothing on them.
Yeah.
Like, people here will stop and help you almost 99% of the time. Somebody's going to stop and help you without you asking. Whereas in Toronto, you can sit on the 401 with your hood up, broken down for 6 hours in the middle of like plus 50 heat, and nobody is going to do anything to help you. They're just going to keep going. You know, it's just as big and sprawling as Calgary is, as much as we're growing, we still are a really tight-knit community, and it was never more demonstrated than during the flood.
Yeah. Do you like Toronto?
No.
No?
No.
That's,
I don't.
Because like so many people, like my dad just hates Toronto. And he's like, I don't know, my dad's like, he's like me, he's a 60-year-old version of me, and he loves Calgary, and he loves the country. And I was in Toronto 2 years ago for like 10 days, and I fell in love with it.
It's different when you don't live there, though. It's different
yeah.
when you're not born and raised in Ontario, and you know, I mean, the humidity is a novel concept for a while, and
yeah.
you don't live it, you don't breathe the smog.
And I was there in the
you're
fall.
Not, yeah, and you're not sitting on the 401 for 3 hours falling asleep trying to get home every day. Like
yeah.
most people, they're commuting 2-3 hours.
True.
Or they're on the VIA, and they're commuting between cities, not just like
yeah, yeah.
suburbs like us. You know, I hear people complain about the sprawl, but you guys have no idea. You just really don't.
No, our sprawl's insane. I can get from Evanston to my work, so like the northwest is northwest, like basically Airdrie
yeah.
to Chinook Center in 19 minutes.
Mm-hmm. It's really not that bad.
but yeah, and probably my basis on loving Toronto is I was just there with friends and party. And
it's awesome to visit. It is, yeah.
I found there's so much like culture and soul and like, passion, but Calgary's getting there, you know, all the food trucks, new establishments opening and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. But I'm going to vent and bitch about my fire department for a second, if you don't mind.
Feel free.
So it's been in the news a little bit. So Rocky View County Fire, we've got like 200 employees, and we're unfortunately fighting with our county. Our union's fighting with the county. So basically, we've been negotiating a contract for like 2 years-ish, 2.5, 3 years. And we signed our contract, and the day after we signed our contract, they laid off all of our full-time firefighters. So the tricky thing when you talk about Calgary and it being so full and everybody helping each other is safety in numbers. So you move out, you know, to Elbow Valley or out the number 8 or out the number 1 to Springbank or actually building a hall in Bearspaw, is you are alone out there.
Well, and I just saw a report on the news, I think it was last week, where houses just burn because they can't get there in time. There's no staff. There's nobody there.
Yeah. Bearspaw.
Yeah. And there's just nobody there.
So we go there. We have 4 guys. So, like, CFD, any catalog alarm, they get 3 engines, so that's 12 guys automatically dispatched. So we get 4. So 4 guys roll in. So you have a driver, you have a captain, you have 2 peons in the back seat. Peons being myself.
Grunts.
And with any scene, no matter how big or small, you need at least 6 people. So we only have these few amount of people. So like that fire in Bearspaw, there's been a bunch of fires at Springbank. We actually had a plane go down in Springbank the other day. And so we basically have nothing. So we're trying to educate, like obviously it's a a wealthy area of the city, but these people need to know that they're paying premium tax dollars
for nothing.
For really a bunch of guys standing there. And we also actually have mandates, so if there's a fire, so say if there's a huge fire in a house in Springbank, there's people inside trapped, and this is a morbid thing to think about, but reality now, being a father, is if there's someone trapped inside a house and there's two firefighters outside ready to go in, they can't go in until the next two guys are there behind them. Because it's, you know, our safety first, yeah, then the general public safety, because if we go down, then everyone's just screwed. So, the tricky thing is, not many people know this. So then we roll up to a scene and we have four guys and these people are asking us to help, and we can't do anything. So I actually had a bad call a few months ago. It's just a car accident, so the number 8 isn't twinned, and we get tons of car accidents, and we need a bunch of people on hands to do any sort of work, and there's only so much a 160-pound human named Blaine can do for a bunch of people trapped in a car. So it's tricky, and, you know, without getting into a whole big union debate, it's just people need to know that Calgary is spoiled. Not spoiled, but they have an extreme amount of luxury to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because, like, Calgary's taxes are, you know, they're okay and they pay for great services and EMS and fire does their job and they do what they need to do. But if you're anywhere outside the city and you're calling 911, you're getting a minimal crew with a 20-minute response time. So that's the tricky thing, too, is so we have these mandates. So, like I said, we can't go into that fire, but if something happens and it's really bad, are we probably going to go in? Yes. Is our captain going to say, don't go in and give us a wink and a nudge and go in? You know, we unfortunately haven't been in a situation like that yet. But
that's terrifying to think about, though.
Someone's going
to
get hurt or killed, and it's going to be one of us. One of them, whatever. Okay.
No, I can't even imagine that. When our daughter was 6 months old, by the time she was a year, she'd been in two ambulance rides, and the firefighters were the first responders because we're in between two fire halls where we are. And without them, she would have died. And the idea of waiting 20 minutes while my daughter turned blue and not being able to help her is, yeah, downright terrifying.
Yeah. That's the sweet thing about you guys. You got one and two.
Yeah, we're right in between. Yeah, and we're right in between them, and we see them, well, at least once a week. Yeah.
You get a rock star crew. They bring all the big guns.
They do. They bring all the big guns, and I feel so bad because every single time, it's inevitably somebody who burned toast and opened their apartment door instead of their balcony. Every time. We have such sensitive fire alarms.
Yeah, well, that's a good call to go to. You can just do some PR.
Pretty much. They all wave at the security cameras. None of us come down.
All right, sweet. So, what's next for Crackers? Where do you see this going?
Not sure. I mean, I'd kind of like to see it break 10,000 followers before we call it quits or move or run out of content. But as long as Calgary keeps doing stupid shit, then we're in business.
And so any other things you guys have thought to look into? So you have obviously Twitter is your go-to,
mm-hmm.
your imager, your YouTube. Any other avenues you guys would like to dabble
in? We did try Facebook. We found that it was pretty redundant, and Twitter worked better. We did do a blog, but again, you know, there wasn't really much interest in it, and it got to be, what can you say more than what you already see on Twitter? So just... we just keep doing what we do, as long as people keep doing things that are funny or relevant. And since the flood, we've become more of an avenue to get the word out. I do volunteer. I have done volunteering with ARCS Canada, and so I retweet a lot of their stuff, trying to get the word out about adoption, so people can look into the pets and volunteering. They do a lot of work out at the First Nation reserves and doing free spay neuter clinics. So
yeah, I've seen a lot of you doing a lot of that.
Yeah,
pets up for adoption or missing pets.
Exactly. Well, and I mean, especially with the flooding, there was a lot of missing pets, and now with the election, we've been known now as a place for information, things that are relevant, so we try not to spam our readers with things that aren't really relevant to them. We try and hit a broad audience, and I mean, we see a lot of funny things too, so we try and keep it light, and still remembering that we are accountable to nobody. It doesn't matter what we say.
And that's the sweetest thing.
It is. I mean, it doesn't matter. We're not going to piss anyone off. If we does, so what?
Yeah.
You know,
you'll
is Nancy going to come down and spank me? Can Nancy come down and spank me? That'd be cool. But you know what I mean? Like, we try and stay relevant to this. I mean, this year we had media passes to the Pride Parade, which is pretty cool because we go every year. And
that's awesome.
We've done a lot of the zombie walks and taken pictures and put them up on Imager and things like that. So just try and hit local events and stay current and try not to embarrass ourselves for when our kid finds the internet later on.
Does she have any idea?
Well, it's funny because when I pull my phone out, she's like, "Mommy, are you texting or are you Twittering?" I'm nice. Like, "Oh boy." That's yeah, awesome. Kids are really media savvy now.
Did your kid have any Apple products?
Not personally, like not herself, but she does have a Nexus tablet that she plays on a lot. The playbook was kind of a wash, but I laughed when I saw that the kindergarten curriculum includes iPads. I'm like, oh, no more finger painting like yeah. when I was a kid?
Oh, man,
okay.
It's going to be crazy. So like my kid won't be in school for like 4.5, 5 more years, but it's going to be wild. Like we already, even before Raya was born, we bought him a, just for our iPad, a case that goes on the back of your headrest in the
yeah.
backseat of your car, because like my wife's from Saskatchewan, so we make a 10-hour drive 3 times a year.
Yeah.
That's like, because we have friends that are trying to raise their kids, you know, gradually, and they're like, yeah, we don't have TV, we don't listen to that much radio, and then now they're like, YouTube,
yeah,
Dora,
all at once.
Go.
Well, I mean, like, dishes need to be done,
yeah.
you know, laundry needs to be done, and this whole sleep when the baby sleeps, nobody does that.
No, you do your shit when
you
it sleeps.
Exactly, and then, unless you have my kid who, you know, wakes up as soon as a fork is dropped anywhere in the apartment, and you're
oh,
like,
really?
Oh, awesome, but we'll sleep through the construction sites constantly around us, so I'm like, yeah you troll.
That's awesome. All right, well, best of luck.
Thank you so much.
So, yeah, if you aren't already, I'm sure you already are, follow CrackMax, and my Twitter handle is at Lane Zimmer, and maybe we'll do this again in a few more months.
Absolutely. This was our first podcast, actually, so, yeah,
so
thanks for having
me. We're going to mention Nenshi on this, maybe he'll come on.
Nenshi. Is it like summoning Bloody Mary? No, I'm pretty sure that violates the No Fun Libre Charter.
Yeah, exactly. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed a little change of pace, and we will talk to you soon. Bye.